This episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Headspace. Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/accidentalcreative for a free 1 month trial. Today's episode is also sponsored by Patreon. Start generating a steady, reliable income and earn the freedom to make what you love. Sign up today at patreon.com. That's patreon.com. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of a brand new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold or at motivationcode.com. Okay, if we're all being a little bit honest with ourselves, are you a little tired of staring at people on video chats right now? Do you have a bit of Zoom fatigue? I think most of us probably do. I mean, most of us have been sitting in meetings online, staring at our screens, staring at people for months on end now, at least those of us who have to meet in order to do our job. And that can be really challenging. I mean, meetings are challenging in the most normal of times, let alone now when all of our meetings are remote. How do we connect with people when we're staring into a camera? How do we, let's just say, captivate people when we want to communicate an idea, but we're trying to do so remotely? What are some of the things that we do that actually help us connect in a more meaningful way with others? Whether that be a prospect, you know, a business prospect or a friend or someone we're just trying to have a casual conversation with? And what are some things maybe that we do even unknowingly that cause other people to turn off when we're trying to connect with them? On today's show, we have Vanessa Van Edwards. She is a behavioral investigator, and she's also the author of the best-selling book, Captivate, The Science of Succeeding with People. And she's going to talk very practically and very tactically about some of the things we can do to help us connect in a more meaningful way, even in a virtual world. If we're virtual prospecting, if we're meeting, if we're a leader, we're trying to connect with our team, what are some very specific and science-based things that we can do to help us resonate more deeply with others? Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Headspace. So listen, life can be stressful even under normal circumstances, but 2020 has challenged even the most difficult times of life. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes, and that's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need help falling asleep? Headspace has a wind-down session their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. What I love about Headspace is that I don't have to have an hour blocked off to be able to dedicate to meditation because it's so simple, it's so easy, and I can meditate for as long as I want. I can, you know, meditate for 3 minutes, I can meditate for 10 minutes or for 30 minutes. Headspace has something for any situation that I find myself in. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/accidentalcreative. That's headspace.com/accidentalcreative for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. So head to headspace.com/accidentalcreative today. And we thank Headspace for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's so great to have on the show today Vanessa Van Edwards. She is the author of the smash best-selling book, Captivate, The Science of Succeeding with People. And I've been waiting to have a conversation with her for a very long time. So excited she's on the show. Vanessa, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
For those who may not be familiar with your work, could you share just a little bit about yourself, about your background, and kind of how you ended up doing what you're doing right now?
Sure. Well, first, if I haven't met you yet, it's such a pleasure to meet you. I am a recovering awkward person, so I teach people skills from an awkward perspective. And what I mean by that is, I've always kind of struggled with people. I never really was able to process social information very well, and so I read all these books, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and all these people skills books by Daniel Goleman. And I realized that a lot of these resources were written by extroverts. And extroverts are very well-meaning. They get such pleasure from their social interactions that they try to teach what comes naturally to them to non-naturals. And the problem with that is we often get advice that's like, just be yourself, or be more authentic, or just smile more. And when you're an ambivert or an introvert, that advice is super confusing. And so I set out to try to write people skills from a very systematic perspective. What are the formulas for conversation? Is there a blueprint for charisma? Can we look at relationships from a hard skills perspective? And so that, who would have known, was the kernel that started Science of People, and I found many other recovering awkward people who also wanted those formulas, and here we are today.
So I love that this began as an introvert's quest to connect with others. I think I often, as a fellow introvert, I often say that my mantra is, "Hey, let's all be together alone, separately, like in our own offices." Or which so like for some people, this remote working thing is kind of maybe a little bit of a dream come true. I think for some introverts, when it's like, okay, when I'm done with people, I just click the hang up button and you're gone.
The funny thing about it is, so I actually think technically I'm an ambivert. So in ambiverts, actually most people are ambiverts. Ambiverts can dial up into extroversion when they need to, but need a lot of recharge and recovery time. And for a long time, I operated thinking I was an introvert until I discovered ambivert and I realized, oh, wait a minute, I actually have more strength and power, social power than I thought. Because if we know our triggers, I think this is really important. If you know what triggers drain you, right? There are certain people that you dread seeing. There's certain situations or places that you're like, oh gosh, that's so much energy. Like for certain ambiverts, they love remote work. They love video calls. It's just enough social interaction to tick the box. Other ambiverts, this is me, we go on a video call hoping for that social connection and leave feeling totally empty. And we're like, wow, I miss the real social interactions. And so the nice thing about ambiverts, and this is also for introverts who are hoping to optimize, find your people who fill you, the ones who give you energy. Avoid and set boundaries on the people who drain you and you dread seeing. And the same thing with places or contexts.
I love that. Well, part of I think what you're describing is this dynamic that you share about where we actually are able to, we're contagious, right? Humans are contagious, and we're actually able to catch emotions from other people. And maybe some of that is what contributes to that draining or energizing dynamic in relationships. Could you explain that concept of catching emotions from others?
Yes, we are so contagious. And a funny side note here, in 2017, I decided to call my TED Talk. I gave a TED Talk in London. I thought I was being super clever. I decided to call it You Are Contagious. Well, that TED Talk was great until we had a global pandemic in 2020. And now people click on my TED Talk thinking that it's a talk about literally being contagious. So we are contagious, act also non-verbally and socially. So what this means is, and they don't really understand how this works, it could be body language, it could also be pheromones. My favorite study with our contagion has to do with skydivers. They had people come into their lab and one group skydived the first time, and while they were skydiving, they wore sweat collection pads, which are pretty gross. They're ways to collect someone's sweat. And the other group ran on treadmills, also wearing sweat collection pads. And at the end, they had participants, poor, poor participants, I hope they were paid well, smell both of these sweat pads. And the participants that smelled the sweat of the skydivers began to feel more afraid. They actually had fear activation in their amygdala, where those who smelled the treadmill sweat didn't feel anything. In other words, fear might have a smell. And the reason I share this is because it's so often that we walk into a meeting or we go to a networking event or we go to a party and we're anxious, burnt out, panicked, worried, not present, going, why did I sign up for this event? And then we try to cover it with a fake smile because we heard that's good. And we try to make eye contact because we heard that's good. And then we realize, why aren't we making the right connections? And it could be that if you're coming from a place where you're already socially drained and burnt out, people pick up on that. They smell it, they see it, they sense it, and they catch it. So when we talk about being memorable, it's not just being memorable in every way. It's actually just being memorable in the positive ways. That I think we have to work to be memorable in the authentic, charismatic, leadership ways, and not the panic, burnt out, scared ways.
So you talk about the importance of a couple of different things. You talk about nonverbal communication, which is kind of what you're talking about when it comes to the fake smile. I was fascinated to discover through your teaching that we respond very differently to a fake smile than we do to an authentic smile. And it's due to something you call micro expressions. Could you explain that concept to us a little bit?
Yes. So you picked out the one cue that got me hooked on this entire set of research. So when I first started my journey, I discovered this idea of a micro expression, which was coined by Dr. Paul Ekman, who found that there are these universal expressions of emotion, universal facial expressions. Not every expression is universal, but there are seven that he's found are. When I learned that, I realized, wow, we can actually learn nonverbal cues so that we can accurately read people, not only to understand them, but also to communicate them with them in the best way. And one of the universal facial expressions is a smile. The issue here is that most people think of a smile as just showing your teeth or raising the corners of your mouth. But actually, a true indicator of a smile reaches all the way up into your upper cheek muscles. So if you smile as big as you possibly can and activate your crow's feet right on the side of your eyes, that's a genuine smile. And so when Dr. Barbara Wild wanted to know if fake smiles and real smiles cause differences in people, she showed people pictures of people making a fake smile, so just the bottom half of their face, and pictures of people making a real smile. And she found that when people looked at the real smile, they caught the happiness. They felt happier. But when she showed people pictures of people making an inauthentic smile, they felt nothing. In other words, I would rather have you only show up to places where you truly feel happy and truly feel your best self than try to fake it till you make it. And fake it till you make it is, I think, one of the worst pieces of social advice that's ever given.
Well, so how does something like that translate to this world of video conferencing? And, you know, I've been in many meetings where people are kind of like staring down at their keyboard, obviously doing email while we're trying to have an interaction, or, completely disengaged, or even as a presenter, somebody who, I'm wired to influence behavior. That's one of my core motivations. And when I see, on a video call, when I'm presenting, I see people sort of with their arms crossed, kind of looking around, not really looking at the camera. So how should we think about this in the world of video conferencing to make sure that we're connecting with people online?
Yeah. Okay. I have two really, really easy tricks for this. The first is make sure that you are congruent with your words and your sound. What I mean by this is so many video calls start like this. Hey, everyone, happy to be here. That does not sound happy at all, right? So the first thing is, if you're going to say happy to be here, say it like you're happy to be here, right? Or you hear someone hop on a podcast and they're like, thanks for having me. You're like, man, they don't sound very thankful. That actually triggers an interesting part of our brain when liars are often not congruent with their words and their sounds. So they'll say, oh yeah, I'm really happy for her. But you know that doesn't sound happy, and it triggers a part of our brain that goes, I don't know about this person. So one, if you're gonna say, I'm happy to be here, so great to see you team, happy Monday, please mean it. If you're not having a happy Monday, if you're not happy to be there, just say, hey everyone. I'd rather you not have the inauthenticity.
Yeah.
The second thing is try to avoid what I call a verbal accident. So what I'm seeing over and over again on these presentations and video calls, or even just like FaceTime calls with family and friends, is that we are starting on a negative accidentally. It sounds like this. Oh man, so those numbers, right? Ugh, gosh, the weather has been terrible. Man, it's been busy, 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 busy. So has it been as stressful over there as it is over here? And so we start on these questions or these notes that are just slightly negative. And what you're doing is you're actually priming the other person's brain to think more negatively. The brain is a very interesting muscle in our body, for lack of a better word, in that if I say to the brain, been busy, your brain immediately scans your entire life for hits of busy. So you say, busy, 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 am I busy, am I busy, am I busy? Oh, you know, I was busy last weekend. Yes, busy. And if you're not busy, so if you scan your brain, you really can't think of busy, then you're set up to disagree with the person. No, I haven't been busy. I've been great, actually, which sounds horrible. If you ask someone, doing anything exciting, having a great week, having a nice day so far, that makes them search their brain for a good day, good day, good day. Yeah, you know, I had breakfast with my daughter. That was lovely. Oh, that's wonderful. So we are in control of the pace and the energy we set for our video calls, even if you're not leading them. And so what I would say is avoid the verbal accidents. Start on some sort of positive trigger you don't have to be poly-positive, right? You don't have to come on the call and be like, happy Monday, everyone. Let's talk about something exciting. That's also not authentic. But now, before I hop on a call, before I hopped on this call with you, instead of checking my email, worrying about, you know, negative thoughts, I take a moment and I think, what's the positive? What's the positive? What's the thing I can bring up? What's something good? That not only changes me and makes me a little bit more present, it only takes me about 20 seconds right before our call, it completely changes the nature of the interaction.
There was something that you referenced in, I think it might have been in your TEDx talk, which, by the way, we'll link up in the show notes as well. But you talked about the importance of dopamine and what happens in our brains when we encounter someone who approaches the conversation in a much more positive way, when our mind is looking for positive hits versus misses. And there is a quote, and I can't remember the name of the person, but the person said, dopamine makes a mental post-it note.
Yes.
So could you explain what that means?
Sure. So this is Dr. John Medina. And, you know, dopamine is a very complicated chemical. It does a lot of things. It has to do with motivation and pleasure and rewards. But what, for our purposes, what Dr. John Medina found is our body and our brain loves dopamine. And especially in conversation, most of our conversations are on social autopilot, like conversational autopilot. And you know what this is like, right? Like, you're talking to someone, oh, how's it going? How are the kids? What do you do? Where are you from? Where'd you go? Nice. Great. Thanks. Good weather. Cool. Bye. Like, it's the same conversation. Like, I'm totally brain dead. When you ask something a little bit different, like, for example, Katie Couric, I love one of her conversational tips. She advises, instead of asking people, what do you do? Ask people, what do you like to do? It's one word change, but what do you like to do? Give someone permission to explore a much more pleasant, much less talked about area of their life. And that triggers dopamine. And when we trigger dopamine, our bodies and brains like it so much that it creates the equivalent of like a mental post-it note, as if your brain is saying, this person made me feel good. I'm going to remember them. So when you trigger dopamine, when you slightly change your verbal cues and your nonverbal cues to a little bit more pleasure, it makes you more memorable. It makes what you say more memorable. Memorable is a hard word to say. And it also makes people want to keep engaging with you. And that doesn't mean that you have to put a variety show on every video call or every coffee, but it does mean that we can be much more purposeful with our cues.
We're going to get back to the interview with Vanessa in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know this episode is also sponsored by Patreon. So as a creator, it can sometimes feel like you're making stuff for everyone but yourself. Sound familiar? Patreon is a creator-founded membership platform where you can build a reliable income stream to fuel your creative independence. No advertisers, no algorithms, no mainstream gatekeepers holding your paycheck or telling you what to do. On Patreon, the people who love what you make can directly support it with paid subscriptions. And in return, they'll get access to exclusive content and custom rewards. Find the creative freedom to do your best work and the financial stability to make it possible. So if you're an illustrator, you're a video creator, a podcaster, an artist, or a creative person of any kind, sign up today at patreon.com. That's patreon.com and start creating on your own terms. And now back to our interview with Vanessa Van Edwards.
So as we're in this age of, as some people around me have taken to calling it physical distancing versus social distancing, because I feel like social distancing is such a bad phrase. That's just a terrible thing, because we shouldn't be socially distant, but we are physically distant, right?
Love it.
Yeah. What are some practices that you think would be helpful to us to adopt as we think about staying connected, as we think about staying engaged with others in the midst of this time when we have to be physically distant, but we don't have to be socially distant?
Yeah. So the first thing is we need to make sure that we are getting enough oxytocin from the interactions that we're having. So what I mean by this, so I love, you know, the chemicals behind our social interactions, because they kind of clarified for me, they gave me the rules of interaction. And so the three chemicals I talk about most in my courses and my books is our dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin. Oxytocin, again, this is a very simplified explanation of this chemical, but it's the chemical of bonding. It's called the cuddle hormone because we tend to produce a lot of it when we're having some kind of physical touch. When we are not interacting in person, we are not handshaking, we're not hugging, we're not cheek kissing, we're not having those little arm touches, those little elbow touches. The other way that we make oxytocin is through eye contact, mutual gazing, and smiling at each other. So what we have to make sure of is that if we're not having the touch part of our social interactions, at least we're keeping some of the oxytocin part. So that means one is we do produce oxytocin even through a webcam. So when you're on the phone with people, and I, in the beginning of physical distancing, I would often call people and be doing other stuff, right? So I'd call someone and be cooking or doing the dishes or going on a walk. And I would feel sort of like, did I really see them? Like, did I really connect? And I realized it's because I wasn't making the eye contact, which made it so that I wasn't producing as much oxytocin. So the first is I started to really look at my people when I'm on camera with them. The second thing is I try to have as many Me Too moments as I can. And what I mean by Me Too moment is they say, oh man, like I'm really feeling lonely. And you say, you know what? I am too. I'm so with you. Or they say, I'm feeling kind of energized about 2021 and what's going to be changing. And you say, yes, me too. I'm so excited. You, of course, want to keep these authentic, but it's listening with a different purpose. When I'm interacting in person, when we're not physical distancing, I'm just trying to get to know someone, get updates. Now, when I listen, I'm listening for what's that moment of belonging that we can have together, even though we're not together.
I love that. It's such good advice, practical advice. And it's easy to devolve into a doom loop of woe is me-ism, I think, in our conversations right now. Because there is there's a lot that's affecting all of us. And that's maybe the thing we have in common right now. You know, so it's easy to default to that instead of looking for ways of connecting in a more meaningful and deep way. So in light of that, what is something that you, Vanessa Van Edwards, are excited about or looking forward to right now?
I am excited about people truly exploring the possibilities of remote work. I've always been a fan of remote work. My entire team is remote. We have people in Hong Kong. We have people in Croatia. We have people all over the world. And it always felt like a second choice. You know, people always kind of like, oh, remote work. And I think that now, while we're being forced into it and there are some negatives, there also are some positives, and we're learning how to do it better. You know, even in the last 7 months, I've done more virtual trainings than I've ever done before. And in those virtual trainings, we're exploring these new ways of connecting and bonding. And we're making virtual work better, down to like the logistics, like people getting better desks in their home, to people figuring out new tools so they can communicate with each other, to team members creating purposeful social touch points. You know, I've done a lot of corporate trainings, and what used to happen, especially in, you know, big corporate offices, is you had what I call accidental social touches. So this is in the elevator, in the break room, in the parking lot, at the end of a meeting. Then you kind of casually say, how's the kids? How was the holidays? Great. Those are so surface, right? It's extremely hard to go deep with those. Now, those are gone. Right? We're not having a lot of those accidental social time. It's just not there anymore. So to be able to bond, you have to set aside time to say, okay, I'm going to do a 20-minute virtual happy hour with my three colleagues, and we're just going to catch up. That's really powerful, and that's a great opportunity. And so I'm excited for people to figure out how to maintain their social connections, even remotely, much more purposefully. And that means when we can get back in person, our retreats are going to be so powerful, right? Our hugs are going to mean so much more. And so I'm very excited for the next phase of a hybrid world of remote and in-person work.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the other side of this. We're going to be so excited. Like I think for many of us, I think we never realized what we had, you know, and I think it's going to be such an amazing experience when we begin to experience all of it again. And we realize, this just feels normal and human in ways that maybe we haven't experienced in a while.
I appreciate my hugs so much more now. Mm. So much more because they're harder to get.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, Vanessa Van Edwards is the author of Captivate, The Science of Succeeding with People. Vanessa, if people want to come find you, where can they come find you?
Yeah, come find me at scienceofpeople.com. My book Captivate's on Amazon. And of course, that my TED Talk is on YouTube.
Fantastic. And we'll link all of that up in the show notes. Vanessa, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, gosh. Thanks for listening, everyone. And thanks so much for having me.
And of course, as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.